What a day for Chicago sports. I know I'm jumping in before I usually do, but we got to get started because it's been such a day. The Chicago Cubs, first pitch, home run, very exciting. Yay! And then the Chicago White Sox, I think they won, right? I probably should know that decision. Michael, do you know if the White Sox won? I know I was out shoe shopping. I took my son shoe shopping today for new shoes, and I didn't hear the. I probably should. Woohoo! That's huge. The Sox won 14-7. I like how Michael tells me things in my ear. Nobody on the air hears it, and it sounds like I just know stuff. And
wouldn't that be nice if it was all the time?
If I used to have Michael, like one of those little earpieces.
That's Jim Gardner. He's married to Susan, and they have two boys.
Exactly.
Steve, how are you?
I could really use that, Michael. If you could just be in my ear all the time.
I think you'd slowly go crazy, to be honest.
I don't know about slowly, because I seem to be pretty near close to it.
And voices in her head may be nothing new.
Right now, by the way, we'll get to this in a minute, but some of the texters are very fortunate that my text screen is not working. I feel there's sabotage in the air. Okay, so the Cubs won. Woohoo!
Woot!
The Sox won. Woohoo!
Woot!
And the Blackhawks, with a bizarre twist of history for the Blackhawks.
Is this the best story of the day?
It's the best. It is. And that's on a day when both Chicago baseball teams won. This is the best news story of the day. Tell people what happened during the Blackhawks game.
Scott Foster. I got to go buy his jersey. What number is he? If someone can find out, I gotta buy his jersey because today he was an accountant. Honest to goodness, and occasionally, apparently, according
I think
to
he
was
the number news, 90.
Number 90. That's a good one.
Why is that number 90? Oh, nice for him.
It's like a jersey you can grow into. It's like someday.
I love this. Scott Foster, he's an accountant by day. He apparently is also, now I'm not exactly sure what this means, but he's a press box attendee. Patty and I decided that means he makes sure the beer is cold.
Yes, and there are snacks for everybody.
For the journalists, the hardworking journalists. Well, the goalie, Colin Delia, am I saying that right?
You're asking the wrong person.
Goes down with an injury in the third period. They bring in their emergency break glass in case of emergency goalie. Scott Foster, who you, I guarantee, have never heard of.
He wasn't actually doing the other job when they called him, right? Like
He was actually driving to the United Center, apparently, maybe to be the press box attendee. I'm just reading the story and sitting here in front of me. What a great story.
It's wonderful.
He's there, and he suits up, and he goes, and he blocks, what, 7 shots on goal that he's had to cover, and so he had a shutout.
There it is.
This is so cool.
That is a very exciting sports story. So this is a great week for sports. So, baseball's back. It's the Scott Foster story. Plus, coming up in a little bit, we're going to check in with Kevin Powell, who's in San Antonio, hanging out with Sister Jean.
Go Rebels!
Great cartoon today, by the way. I put that
thank
as
you.
my banner picture on Facebook.
Thank you.
So very cool with Sister Jean in front of the Alamo.
Yes.
Don't forget.
Don't forget Villanova and Michigan. I have a Michigan friend who's giving me, like, trying to get me all upset, and it's just not. Well, plus Eric Zorn,
yes.
We were on with him today.
We did the Mincing Rascals with John Williams, which, by the way, I believe the podcast is already up. You can hear us talking about a lot of different topics. What was Bertrand wearing? It looked like he was also wearing Michigan colors.
No, he was wearing Marquette for some unknown reason.
That's his alma mater.
Well,
so
good.
He was representing.
Sure, okay, why not?
Well, I did not have
it confused me.
I did not have a Harry Potter scarf on. You and I were talking about the Cubs. John Williams is a fair weather fan, a bandwagon fan.
Well, to be fair, he has his Loyola scarf for almost a week.
Yes, he has had it for a week. He was wearing Todd Manley's Sox jersey. So there. Oh, we have a listener who has a thank you for us. I love this. Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
Oh, very good, Patty. You wonderful woman.
Thank you, Kevin. You fantastic gentleman.
I want you to come up here to Milwaukee.
Oh, absolutely. I love Milwaukee. What's the Maters? Maters is one of my favorite restaurants in the country.
Oh well. I live here at Maple Ridge.
Okay, Maters is that German restaurant right downtown where all the presidents
are. Yeah, right downtown, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great place.
But I want to thank you for bringing the White Sox to GN.
You do know I personally had nothing to do with it. Because I'm like many fans, if I had my druthers, but we're very excited at baseball in the year. So you're a big Sox fan?
What's that?
You're a big Sox fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been ever since they were on the old the old, what was that other station?
Oh, we don't talk about other stations.
There are no other stations.
Yes, there are. Okay, yeah. On the previous station. But what?
Yeah, right.
So since you were, have you been a White Sox fan since you were a kid?
Yeah.
So what has been, I was thinking about this on the way down, because my favorite season of all time, obviously the World Series season for the Cubs was outstanding, but for me also the 84 Cubs season was incredible as well. When Rick Sutcliffe went 16-1, when we went to the playoffs and we played the Padres, and yes, everyone knows that my heart still breaks when I think of Steve Garvey hitting that grand slam. What was it, what's a season that sticks out for you in your memory about the White Sox?
When they won the championship.
The World Series?
2005.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had their other incredible season, because I do love baseball. 83, the year before the Cubs were on fire. In 83, the White Sox had an outstanding. Ron Skittle was a big star that year, too. So it was a...
Kittle.
Yeah. Ron Kittle. Skittle. I called him Skittles. I called him Skittles. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Patty, who's your favorite White Sox announcer?
My favorite White Sox announcer would be Harry Carey.
Really?
Yes. Because
he was good. He and Lauren Brown did a good job. By the way, does anybody know, I don't know if you know this, Patty, but does anybody know if the organist is still around?
Oh. That's a really good question. Last I'd heard, yes, but I would have to find out if it's still the same organist that's been there for decades. That's a great question.
Nancy Faust.
Or let me take it. I'm Googling it as fast as I can. Nancy Faust. We have to run because we're going to have Kevin Powell checking in from San Antonio. But let me see, just before I run to a break, let me see if this will come up on my Google. It looks as though she is still playing the, yeah.
No way.
It looks as though she is still playing the organ. I have... Oh, no, wait. Long time... No, it looks like last season she retired in 2017.
Oh, no.
It was
she, in 2017, she retired, and then she said it was a wonderful career. So there you go. Yeah, but she's still around, and there's a podcast on WGNRadio.com. If you Google Nancy... Or if you,
I don't have... Patty, I don't have that.
Oh,
I'm visually impaired, and I don't have that.
Well, I mean, there's a podcast, though. You can listen to it. So if there's anybody that can get you the podcast, she visited Dave Hoekstra last year and talked about her career as the organist for the Chicago White Sox. So get someone to get that podcast up for you, okay?
Okay, Patty.
Have a great night. Thank you so much, Kevin. More after this. We're going to talk to Kevin, Kevin Powell in San Antonio in just a moment. I can't think of anything better right now than getting ready to watch the Loyola Ramblers. I can't even say it. I'm so excited. And we have to check in with Kevin Powell, who's in San Antonio right now. I've already reserved a table for where I'm going to watch the game. I was very excited about that, Kevin. And I'm a little bit nervous, though, Kevin. First of all, how are you doing? What's your experience in San Antonio? What's it been like?
It's been great. First of all, we had a whole round of interviews, and we went to the Loyola locker room, and it was absolutely jam packed. I mean, it was gridlock. I'm not kidding. And then we went to Michigan's, and Michigan's was full, absolutely. But Loyola as an 11 seed is obviously a huge story here, whether it's locally for Chicago media and Chicago fans, but it's just an endless stream of media, like, lining up for the Loyola Ramblers. So they're the story here for sure. No question about it.
Well, that goes contrary to something. Was it Eric Zorn who was poo-pooing
the
Ramblers? Was it John? He was saying, so John Williams, or somebody in the Mincing Rascals, alleged that the Ramblers are not that big of a story outside of Chicago. And I believe Kevin Powell is putting that to rest.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, I think, I guess we would have to put it in context. I think for Chicago, because the way Chicago is, it's very local, it's homey, it's neighborhoody. So I think, like, if you're walking through the streets of Chicago, you know about the Ramblers. But, for the couple Ubers I've taken around here, everybody knows about Loyola. And the last thing my Uber driver said to me as I got out of the car was, I hope Loyola takes it home.
Wow!
So there's absolutely interest around the country. Obviously, it's not as big as it is in Chicago, but there's definitely some interest, and all the national guys that I've seen and other stuff, they're there. Everybody's following Loyola.
Well, Kevin, I can tell you, I was walking through a mall in Memphis, Tennessee last weekend. I was visiting a friend, and I had my Loyola hoodie on, and I had two people stop me and say, you're having a great week.
And you said, no, I'm from Marmont, is what you said.
Yeah, because they have no idea what that meant. Yes, exactly.
You're like, wrong Loyola. Different. I we ran a promo today. I said I'm so excited about Loyola's game on Saturday that I'll be Catholic for the game. Very excited about that.
But Penny, isn't that your hood? Aren't you in Rogers Park or no? Am I way off base?
No,
I know you're Jefferson Park, right?
I'm Jefferson Park. Yeah, Jefferson Park is straight west. Like it's almost as far north, but it's straight west of Rogers Park. Yeah. So miles and miles apart.
It's tough not to get behind this team. And I've said this, like, you know what? It's okay to be bandwagon sometimes. Who cares? Like, this is awesome. This is the year in which we don't have the Bulls or the Blackhawks in the playoffs. We have Loyola. Can you believe it?
I mean, it's amazing.
And there's somebody likable. You know, I turned to another member of the media and after we had talked with all these guys, and I'm like, and we were like, oh, what do you got to do? What do you got to do? You got to file a few things here and there. And I'm like, dude, I could file like 20 reports with all the material we have right now. Like there's just so many storylines, like from like strictly from what the guys are saying and Porter Moser, Sister Jean, of course.
It's right.
It's like an endless amount of stories with this team. So I would just say it's okay. If you didn't grow up a Loyola fan, we can all just get on the bandwagon. It's fine. Like, there are no rules against it.
I hope that there are no rules on the bandwagon, because I got a lot of stuff that I'm going to have to let fly on Saturday. Well, I mean, is there swearing? Is there swearing in a Loyola fan bandwagon?
Definitely not on Holy Weekend, Patty.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point. All right. So I won't be swearing.
You know, we will hear from Sister Jean's. It's her lone media appearance tomorrow morning at about 9:55 or 10 a.m. So if you're really interested to hear what Sister Jean has to say, look at the social media Twitter timeline about 10 a.m. from myself and all the other media people out here, because she's gonna talk with us about 10 a.m. tomorrow. So I'm actually, you know, I try to be like, you know, Mr. Ultra Professional with the athletes and managers and coaches, but with Sister Jean, it's like, this is amazing. Like she's an international rock star. She's a self-proclaimed international rock star. How could you hate on that when she's 98-year-old nun?
Well, and it just turned out there's a story today in the Tribune that the bobblehead, the company that put it out, said it's the fastest and best-selling bobblehead they've ever put out.
Come on,
that's what the story said.
That's spectacular. Yeah. And I hope some of that goes to like a Catholic charities.
It all does.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has a vow of poverty. So.
I wish I had it in front of me, but like almost all of it goes to charity. So that's a good thing.
Now, one of the listeners has a quick question about, let's say, me and my buddies were wondering if Loyola is and the Ramblers and their logo has a dog like a husky. So is a Rambler a husky dog? What is their mascot?
Have you ever, you haven't seen this?
No. What is
their original logo? Kevin, you know this, right? What it was, what they're originally named after was a...
Oh, a hobo.
A tramp, yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's right. I heard that today. So you got a guy with... Now, is a Rambler, do you think he has the one with the stick with the pouch on the end of it?
Yes.
Or is he just like with a big loose coat?
No, there's a rambling guy.
Rambling guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopping trains.
Gotcha. Very good.
Yeah, very PC.
Before we go, because I got to run to a break and I want to let you get some rest because I know you... by the way, one of our listeners says you have a happy buzz going. So that's, I don't think they're accusing you of drinking. I think they're saying that you are...
No, I'm not drinking. I'm working diligently, Patty.
Yes. No, I know. But I also have to say how much I love that your coverage of the White Sox included many, many, many photos of food. That was quite enjoyable. The horseshoe, the hot dogs, the burgers, it was all a feast for the eyes, and looking forward to having some of that too.
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We scouted out the many media members do not miss this opportunity. The White Sox invite the media to go check out new amenities. And most importantly, the new food items at 35th and Shields. So yeah, there. Shameless plug on my podcast, Powell at the Park podcast. I break down every single food item of new food item at Sox Park, so you can listen at WGNRadio.com.
Outstanding. Go to is Powell at the Park podcast on WGN Plus.
It rolls right off the tongue, Patty.
It really, really does. Can we check in with you for a quick segment tomorrow night, too, if you're up for it?
Absolutely. You guys let me know.
Go and have some fun. Great job. It's Kevin Powell. You can also follow him on Twitter. What's the Twitter handle?
At KPowell720.
At KPowell720. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. And go get a margarita on the Riverwalk now that you're done for the night.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Kev. More after this on 720 WGN. Thanks.
I've known David for a long time. I consider him a good friend. But he is the Sam Kinison of mortgage and finance.
Thrifty Thursday with David Hochberg. If you've got questions about your mortgages, about refinancing, about buying property, David Hochberg is your guy, and he'll be so passionate it'll terrify you. Is that a good way to put it? How you doing, David?
With love, though. With love.
With love. Absolutely.
Tough love.
Tough. Such the tough love. First of all, how have you been, David?
Been busy. Rates have ticked up a little bit, but we haven't slowed down one bit. So we're excited. We're excited about this market. We're excited about real estate. Yes, rates have gone up a little bit, but we still have about 25, 30 people calling us a day from the various stations that we advertise on. And that I participate on shows, and people are still looking for answers to their questions, and I appreciate that they trust us and my team to give them those answers.
What's affecting the mortgages right now, the mortgage rates?
Well, the economy. Economy is starting to come back. There's growth. There's people spending. Congratulations to the United States consumer. We've eclipsed $1 trillion in consumer debt, so that's great for credit card companies. The Federal Reserve is increasing interest rates. They do that when the economy is starting to pick up to keep inflation in check. People have jobs. People are getting paid more money on their jobs. Some people, others are still trying to get that raise, but the confidence that people have in keeping their jobs or expanding on the jobs that they have is back to where it was before everything went to heck in a handbasket in 07 and 08 when everything hit the skids. So, people are spending money again. Talk to any home improvement company owner or anybody at a Home Depot and they'll tell you, or a Lowe's or something like that, they'll tell you that people are back in their stores upgrading their appliances that they haven't upgraded in 10 years. They're looking to pop the top or go back on their house or redo the garage that they haven't spent any money on their house because they were scared of the economy. Now there's a confidence there and they're going out and spending money.
So, hey, David, I'm just wondering, if I came to you today and assume everything checked out, if I wanted to get a 30-year fixed, what interest rates are we looking at today?
I know the answer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
I just Googled it. Go ahead.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. No, go ahead, David.
No, that's a great question because the average 30-year fixed, according to Freddie Mac, you can go to freddiemac.com, the average 30-year fixed right now is right around, I'll round up to 4.4%.
That's the average 30-year fixed. Yeah. So 4.4, about how much has that gone up then in the last year?
Half a point. It's gone up a half a point. Last year at this time, Scott, you could have gotten the average in the 30-year fixed mortgage, according to Freddie Mac, was like a 3.7, 3.8%. So it's gone up a solid half a point since last year. And people are still locked on to, I want to be in the threes. Well, I go back to the commercial I wrote a couple of months ago. I want to be fit in a pair of 34-inch pants, but that's not happening anytime soon either. You have to face reality. And reality today, folks, is your 30-year fix is going to start with a 4 unless you want to pay a whole bunch of money in discount points where there are still lenders out there selling on fear. And, yeah, I could get you into a 3.875% loan today. Absolutely. It's going to cost you 4 discount points. What's a discount point? It's 1% of your loan amount. So if you have a $250,000 loan, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get down into the threes. Does that make sense? Absolutely freaking not. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all, but there are people still selling the 3% loan, and that's all people are focused on. but you have to look at the overall cost of what it's going to cost you to get to the threes.
Interesting. Now are people then, I guess, they're feeling like, okay, I've got a little more money, or I feel like I have job security for a bit at least. So people mm-hmm. are feeling more confident about jumping into the housing market that haven't before. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're seeing two different things. We're seeing first-time home buyers jumping into the market because they've been saving, they've been paying off debt, they're coming out of their parents' basements that they had to go into because they got wiped out, okay? And then the other thing that we're seeing is that the folks that were living in their homes that lost a ton of equity on paper between 08 and now are now back to where they at least were before the collapse or above where they were at the collapse, and they're feeling really good about themselves, and they no longer want to live in that 3,500 square foot house because their kids are gone. Why pay the taxes on that house when they don't have any kids going to the schools? So what they're doing is we've got a couple of things. It's actually a three-pronged attack. The first-time home buyer that wants to get in. The first-time home buyer that bought five to 7 years ago that are now married and having kids and want to upgrade into a bigger house. And then we've got the people who are finally have been living in those houses for 20, 30 years, finally feel comfortable that they got the equity back that they saw get eliminated on paper when everything got blown up in 07, 08. Those people are now starting to move out and downsize. So it's great. New people are coming in. The people that bought 5, 7 years are now being able to move into those homes that the people have been living in 20, 30 years. And now those folks are looking to downsize and getting into the Del Webbs or getting into ranch housing or even renting. You know, they don't want to be homeowners anymore, so they want to rent or they want to be here for the grandkids and then move, go to Florida or California or Arizona for the winters. And God bless them. They should.
We are talking to David Hochberg. Where can people find out information about you? Reach out if they need a little help or have questions.
The easiest place to find out all the information about my team at Pearl Mortgage would be to go to WGNDavid.com. And if you have any questions and you want any answers to your questions or just curious about something, I would much rather you call 312-751-1333. Give my team and I the opportunity to answer your questions. The call's free. The information's free. We're not going to charge you. We just want to have the opportunity to talk to you about your situation to see, number one, if we could better it. Number two, if we can't better it, to give you advice on the question that you're calling about. Number three, maybe you know somebody, your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors who are having some type of challenge or are looking to buy a home or looking to upgrade or don't know what to do. We would much rather have you call us instead of getting some answer from somebody else that isn't in your best interest.
Again, give him a call or call us right now. If your question might help other people who are in the same situation or wondering about something, you can call us at 312-981-7200. We're on the air with David Hochberg. It's pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. More in a moment on 720 WGN. David Hochberg is our go-to guy when we talk about mortgages, refinancing, how to get yourself out of debt, a lot of questions that people might have for Thrifty Thursday. David, there's a question from a listener who has a home equity loan that's about 4 or 3 right now, and the rates are going up. So they're wondering if they should refinance. It's a HELOC, or just should they leave it as it is?
Yeah, it's a great question. The interest rates on home, a HELOC stands for Home Equity Line of Credit, which is essentially a checkbook against your home. It was a great vehicle to get into because then the money was cheap. You know, you could borrow money at 3% and pay the juice on the money, and it didn't bother anybody. Well, the Fed's raised interest rates, like I think 4, 5, 6 times over the past 2 years. They're talking about doing it again 3 times this year. They already did it once. The problem is you don't know how much they're going to increase it the other 2 times. Bottom line is this. For every $100,000 that you borrow, it's going to cost you $21 a month, you know, rounding up for every quarter of a point that it goes up. So if you should refinance or what you should do, it's very simple. You have to ask yourself, how long are you going to be in the house? Okay, that's the first question. Second question is, how much money what are you going to do with that money? I've got a guy right now, WGN listener, I talked to him today. He owes $175,000 on his first loan. He owes $100,000 on his home equity line of credit that's gone up $150 over the past year. because we, you know, we've had those four or five rate increases, and he needs an extra $20,000 to do home repairs. So he basically needs a $300,000 loan, right? Mm-hmm. So we I gave him all the scenarios. I'm like, guess you got a, he's got a 30-year fixed loan at 3.875, and he's got this home equity line of credit that keeps going up, and he needs a couple extra bucks. I said, well, listen, you could do one. You could leave the first loan as it is. You could take out a new second loan, but the challenge is you could take out a $125,000 second loan because his home equity line of credit was expiring and he got tired of it going up, so he had to do something. They said you could take out another HELOC for $125,000 to basically take care of the 100 that's expiring and pull out an extra 25, or you could just roll them together and do one big loan. Long story short, rolling them together, putting him into a loan at like mid fours, covering all his, it was like mid to high fours, covering all his closing costs, actually reduced his overall monthly payment by about $150 a month. I don't know the exact number, but it was over $100 a month, right? Now, some people would think like, well, why would you leave a three-something loan and roll everything into a four? I go, listen, forget about the interest rate. The interest rate is crap. It's got to do with the overall monthly payment. So when you added the first loan with the second loan, the extra money he wanted out, and he wanted a 30-year fixed loan because he didn't want, he just wanted the security, he didn't want an adjustable rate loan, his payment came down over $100. So the texter that texted in, you've got to look at the overall picture. You just can't look at it in separate pieces because it all just gets put into one big puzzle. And if your texter would like to give me a call to just run the numbers, it takes us 4 minutes to analyze the situation. In under 5 minutes, we could give you the examples. Say if you did this, you did that, you do the other thing, and you pick. You know, we'll make the recommendation, but what's best fits your family? It's like buying a pair of shoes. You know, there's 4,000 pairs of shoes out there. You got to find the shoe that fits your foot the best, and not every shoe is going to fit everybody's foot the best. So we just got to find which shoe fits your foot, and then you make the decision of which type of product you want to go into, and we'll help you get to that product.
Thank you so much for answering that question, and that was from the 847. You know, a lot of people are filing their taxes probably a little, you know, just trying, waiting to the last minute, like myself. But the average tax return refund is often over about $2,000. Do you have suggestions for people who are getting refunds this year, what they should do with that money? I mean, obviously, it depends on what situation they're in, but what are your thoughts?
Well, number one, go to your HR department and increase your withholding so you're not giving the government a tax-free loan of over $2,000. I mean, that's what I would do, right? I mean, you know, you're sitting there, the average person in Illinois is sitting there with over $38,000 in credit card debt, and you're giving the flipping government a $200 a month free loan. I mean, what the hell is that all about? I mean, so number one, talk to your tax preparer, ask him or her, what do I have to do not to get $2,000 back next year so I could get more back on every paycheck so I could pay my credit cards down and not have to pay all that juice on that money? Okay, so
hold on. Let me just say this. I always feel like I won something when I get a refund. That's all but I should treat it as though I'm winning something every month if I adjust that and make sure that I'm getting more back every paycheck. Right.
Yeah, and Uncle Sam appreciates that you feel that way because they're living off Uncle Sam is blitzing you for the money, a tax-free loan. You know, you're not getting any interest on that, right? You owe Uncle Sam money. God forbid you owe $2,000 and you only send in $1,500, and they're chasing after you with penalties and taxes for the extra $500. In the meantime, you got all these people getting refunds back, and they go, oh my God, look how great this is. No, it's not great. What the hell's wrong with you? You just gave the government all that money.
Okay, now we've established.
I had a guy go, oh my God, I got $8,400 coming back. In my tax returns, this is so great. I'm like, you gave him $700 a month. You're sitting there with $15,000 worth of credit card debt. Well, why is that so great?
I feel like David's yelling at us all collectively who enjoy our refunds back. David, do you mind doing a segment after the news? Because we've got someone on hold.
I'd love to.
And we'll talk more about what to do with your tax refund in addition to what's wrong with Patty. More after this on 720 WGN. David Hochberg's on the line with us, and we've got some questions rolling in about loans and mortgages and a lot of great questions now. David, I love this part where people are listening to us for a little bit. They want to hear what you have to say, and then they start feeling comfortable enough to call. So that's my favorite part of the show is when people are like, wait a minute, I got a question. So, how are you doing, David, by the way? We haven't seen you in like months.
I know. I feel, you know what? Can you do me a favor? You sent me an email about a charity thing that you're doing while I was on vacation, and I cannot find the email to give you a to make a donation to whatever you were trying to raise money
for. The Fight for Air Climb. Oh, that's nice of you to remember. I will. I think that might have closed, but there'll be plenty of other ones for me to send you emails on. I appreciate that. Thank you. It was the Fight for Air Climb.
Just tell me whatever charity, and I'll make a little donation in your name. I felt horrible because I got on vacation, and I'm just like, oh, God, where the heck is it? And I couldn't find it when I got back.
But how dare you go on vacation, David?
Yes.
What were you thinking?
It's all good.
It was a working vacation.
I'm guessing with you, they all are, David. I mean, I don't see a David Hochberg going and relaxing. Yeah, I can see that.
Not at all. There's no such thing.
No, there's not. Me neither. Here's Gary. Gary has a question. Go ahead, Gary.
David, Daddy, hi.
Hey.
David, I'm the guy who gave her the Vasculator's logo, and you got to give her something, at least a buffer.
He already apologized. Don't make him feel worse there, Gary. Go ahead, Gary. What was your question for David?
Well, David, I've been listening to you for years, and on the other station, too, at times. And I just never had the guts to call you about anything. But I've got a mortgage out here in Hoffman Estates about, I got about 160, between 160, 165 left. But me and my wife are both in our 70s, and I am a vet, and I am also a retired police officer, and my last, what do you call that, your credit rating was about 8 months ago, and I think it was 819 or 17 or something.
Okay.
But we want to get out of here because my wife's disabled, and we need better weather, and we cannot figure out. The older you get, the harder it is to make a decision. We would love to have two homes, but yet we can't figure out how to do it. I'm just not, my brain doesn't work the same as it used to.
Well, you're in Hoffman Estates. We have one of my loan officers, James Cunahan, lives in Hoffman Estates, works out of our office in Schaumburg, that we could easily set up an appointment for you guys to meet. I'll be more than happy to be there when you meet. Have you used your VA eligibility to secure a VA loan yet?
No.
Okay. Are you service-connected disabled in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Okay, well, thank God for that, because if you were... just segue into something for all you veterans out there that are listening. You could get a reduction on your real estate taxes thanks to my good friend Senator Terry Link and the fine people of the General Assembly did something good in the past couple of years. If you're service-connected disabled, between 30 and 50%, you get $2,500 off your assessed value of your real estate taxes. And if you're 50 to 69.9% service-connected disabled, you get $5,000 off your assessed value. And if you're 70 to 100% rated by the VA service-connected disability disabled, you do not pay real estate taxes in Illinois. So I cannot tell you how many – it's the greatest thing and the best feeling in the world when a veteran calls us and says, I did not know that, and they went to a veteran service officer to get rated and don't have to pay real estate taxes in the great state of Illinois any longer. So to answer your question, Gary, it's going to take a little longer than the couple minutes we have at midnight here on Patty's show to sort out your situation, but I would love to have the opportunity, and it would be an honor to meet with you and your lovely wife to talk over what you have. I know you have 165 on a home in Hoffman Estates, and you've got great credit, and you have veteran eligibility to get a VA loan. Those are three wonderful things. Well, four wonderful things. Your wife counts for two. So if
I had to take out one of those home equity line of credit things just to pay the bills out here, and I've got probably another $40,000 on that in the home. Last estimate I got was, I think, $325, and that's less than what I paid for it.
Okay, but you're in a good spot, right? Okay, so you owe about $200,000+, and you have a ton of equity. And what we could do is take a look at what you owe. All you have to do is bring in your two mortgage statements. If you want, we'll meet over by Portillo's in Schaumburg, off of whatever that is. But about my good friends over at the Resnick Lexus dealer over there, and I'll buy you a hot dog, and we'll talk about what's going on. How's that? Is that a date?
It's a date. I'll buy you a hot dog if you're going to do that.
Well, you buy me a hot dog.
No way in the world I was going to drive downtown.
What's that?
I said there's no way in the world I was going to drive downtown.
No. You don't have to. We'll meet over there by Schaumburg. There's a Portillo's there. We'll meet wherever you want over by Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, and we'll walk through it, and we'll figure out what's best for you and your wife. How's that?
I'd love it. I'm internet delete, too. My brain is internet delete.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I've been in that same state. So here, write down my phone number and give me a call now so you don't forget. There's an answering service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that answers the phone. So if you call right now, we'll get the message. We never miss a phone call. It's 312-751-1333. 312-751-1333. And if you want to be put on hold, Mike will take it, and he'll shoot me an email with your name and phone number, okay?
Excellent. There you go, Gary. I feel like we made a connection here.
Yeah. Listen.
I feel like a matchmaker.
There's no greater feeling than helping a veteran sort through what they're going through or figure out the best program to put them into, especially a veteran like Gary who's been around a lot longer than a lot of us have. So it's great. It's great to help veterans out. Love you, Gary.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for that. We also have we have Rich on the line who has a question. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
Very well. What's your question for David Hochberg?
David. David, I will be calling you for a refi. question for you. I have a building in Lakeview. It's a three flat. It should appraise out at about 675 to 7, I hope. I owe 330. How much money can I borrow against it?
Is it owner-occupied or is it an investment property?
It's owner-occupied.
Owner-occupied. We have programs that go up to over 85-90% cash out. If you wanted to, you're going to pay a higher rate. I believe the cash out on a three-unit, one agency does 75, and another agency will go to 80% of the value of your home. And three-unit building in Lakeview for only 675, that seems rather low.
Low. It seems low.
Yeah, super low. Does it need a lot of work?
No, it really doesn't.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I've had it on the market. I've had it on the market, not with a real tour, with my brother who retired to Arizona. So I'm not aggressive with it.
Okay.
So I was figuring, you know, I'll sell it for what I can get and take the cash and run. But I'd like to keep it. So if I can get enough money, I want to take the money and I want to do some flipping. So
sure.
I want to buy for cash if I can. So I need the cash to do that and rehab. So I would love to keep it if I can.
Okay.
And the alternative
is the house currently on the market right now, Rich? Rich, is the house currently?
It's on the MLS, David. We'll just leave it at that. You know, it's
okay.
my brother is retired.
Well, here's the challenge. If it's on the market right now, no lender will do a loan for a home that's listed on the MLS. Okay. And so it has to be taken off the MLS if you want to refinance it. We cannot start anything until it's removed from the MLS. And then since it has been on the MLS and you're taking it off, there are restrictions for the next 180 days, 6 months. There's a restriction on the amount of money you could get cash out. And you're going to have to write letters, 2-3 sentence letters, why you're taking it off and not selling it and all that stuff. And what you're going to need to do with the money. And we just need to go into it and explain it to the lender. You know, okay, so great, you're trying to sell the house. Now you're doing a cash out. Lender just wants to have a warm and fuzzy feeling that you're not going to get the money, then put the house back on the market right away. Okay? So
right.
It's not our first rodeo, right? We've done this hundreds of times, if not thousands of times, in this types of situation. So we could walk you through what you need to do in order to get the money you need to do what you want to do. No big deal.
Excellent.
Not a big deal. I will be calling you for a refi.
All right. Well, thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Rich. Have a great evening. We have another listener. Here's on a text. In 2016, this is from the 630, by the way. In 2016, mm-hmm. I lost my job, which forced my wife and I to live off credit and fall behind, killing our credit scores. We have since found new employment and have about $100,000 in equity in our home, and I would like to use, which I would like to use to pay past due and current credit bills. Are there any options for those with bad credit to cash out the equity in their house?
Yes, absolutely. And one man's definition of bad credit is another man's definition of it. It might not be the greatest credit, but it's good enough to get something done. So the 630 with the $100,000 worth of equity in your home, yes. The answer to your question is yes. Now, what we have to do is, if your credit is really as bad as you think, then what we have to do is go through a little credit rehab program that if you do exactly what we advise you to do over a 4 to 6 month period of time, we could rehabilitate your credit scores to get them high enough to roll that debt into the equity of your home and put the borrower and the homeowner into a much better, stronger financial situation. Again, it's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment. So if we could roll $50,000 or $100,000, biggest credit card debt that I've ever had is $165,000. Okay, rolled in $165,000. It's still the record on my team. Rolled in $165,000 worth of debt into somebody's mortgage and cleaned them up. So it can be done. And if you're a little credit damaged today, if you go on a credit rehab program that we have in place, we will get your credit scores high enough in order for the borrower or the texter in this situation to access that $100,000 worth of equity and pay off that credit card debt and save a ton of money.
Oh, that's excellent. I love how you're helping people. Look at this. We have another caller. We have one more before you go. We're not letting you off the hook yet because Curtis wants to join us. Curtis, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. What's your question for David?
Hi, yeah. I'm looking to buy a house soon, and I was just wondering, right now I've got $3,000 saved up. Would I be better off waiting and getting like a $10,000 or $20,000 down payment?
Well, what's your combined housing income? Are you buying this home alone, or are you buying it with another individual?
Alone. I'm about between $60,000 and $70,000 a year.
A year. Okay, there are programs out there through the state of Illinois. Are you a veteran?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so veteran. And the reason I ask is because you could do 100% financing on a VA loan, okay? Are you looking to buy in the city, or are you looking to buy out in a rural area outside of major metropolitan areas?
Somewhere around Cary, so definitely suburbs.
Okay. Cary, and the reason I ask that is there are 100% finance loans, USDA rural loans, RURAL, that one of my team members is sinking her teeth into to be our rural loan expert. So I don't know if Cary qualifies or not, but if it does, you could purchase a home with a rural loan for no money down and basically walk away with money from the closing. If that doesn't work, the state of Illinois, through the Illinois Housing Development Authority, you could go to IHDA.gov, IHDA.gov, to find out more information, or we could give it to you when you call us at 312-751-1333, has a number of down payment assistance program, Curtis, where some of them are non-refundable, where it's a grant if you're there for like 5 or 7 years, you don't have to pay the money back. And there's other programs that will give you down payment assistance program, down payment money, money for the down payment and closing costs is the right way, is what I'm trying to say at 12:30 in the morning here. Is there are programs out there from IDA that will give you funds for the down payment and closing costs to help you purchase a home. So the best thing to do would be to call right now and leave us a message, because if I wake up my rural loan, she will not be very happy because we're having breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's 312-751-1333, okay? And we could go over all your options. $3,000 is a great start, right? I wouldn't recommend you buying a home with just $3,000, because if an air conditioner goes out, that could cost you $3,000 to replace an air conditioner, okay? So we always recommend that homeowners and home buyers buy a home and have a little bit what's called an emergency fund. God forbid a storm comes through and rips off a roof, a storm comes through, breaks a window, all that stuff costs money, and you need that money to replace it. So we could help you with the programs available now. We could also walk you through, is it a good time for you to buy, or is it a good time for you to buy maybe in 6 months when you have a greater period of time to save? One other question, do you have a 401k that you could borrow against to use the money for a down payment to buy a home, or no?
No, nothing substantial.
Okay, well, but it's just for other listeners out there, that's another option. If you would have said, yeah, I have like $60,000 or $70,000 or $100,000 in a 401k, some companies allow their employees to borrow money from the 401k and use it as a loan that they pay back out of their payroll that they could use for a down payment on a home. Just another option for people that do have 401ks that might be able to go to their HR department and learn more about that to access that liquidity to buy a home.
Excellent.
Okay.
Hope that helps, Curtis.
Well, I have a question. You said it was possible to get a IDA funding for a down payment. Would that be possible to get me away from, I think, a FHA loan?
Well, depending on your credit score, you could use the IDA grants for either FHA, VA, rural, or conventional loans. So you could use the IDA grant for whatever loan you qualify for. So if you don't want the FHA loan because you have a specific preference that you don't like FHA loans, I personally think they're phenomenal for the right person. You don't need to use it for an FHA loan. So, but it depends on what you qualify for. And that's what we have to go over a little deeper than we have time to go over and deeper now.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
No.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you so much. Before I let you go, David, just one quick question from the text screen. Do you have a credit rehab program? Because someone wants to know how much it costs to join your credit rehab program. That's how it's phrased. I don't know that that's...
Yeah, it costs the time it takes for them to dial 312-751-1333 and to spend 5 to 10 minutes on the phone with one of my mortgage professionals. We do not charge anybody for the knowledge that we have and the credit enhancement program that we have in place. If you want to use us for a mortgage or don't want to use us for a mortgage, even if you're not buying a home, just put yourself and your family into a better position because you might need to go buy a car. And when you go buy a car, you're not going to get the 0% financing with 580 credit scores. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the cost is nothing. The cost for our time is nothing. All that we ask from your listeners and the people that call us is to keep us in mind when your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors need help with a mortgage or need help with a credit question, that you give us the opportunity to earn your business with the phone call back to us to help, so we could help them secure a mortgage against their home. That's all we ask for, is the opportunity to earn their business.
Excellent. This has been a wonderful hour with you, David. Really have appreciated your time.
You know, it'd be a good show, don't you think? Maybe, like, you know, Todd Manley, you should maybe review this wonderful hour that we did.
I think so. Let's send the last hour to Todd Manley, as long as it's not...
Yeah, let's wake him up. Yeah. Let's send him a CD. And, you know, you're used to waking people up at 3 in the morning, aren't you, with phone calls?
I believe it was 10 to 2 in the morning, to be specific.
To
yeah,
let's be fair. It was the second phone call that was maybe with poor choice. Thank you, David. Everyone can go to WGNDavid.com because apparently he's bought every radio station plus his name as a website. Thank you, David.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott, David.
Real quick, thank you for the introduction to your colleague at the Trib.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Did you talk to her already?
No, I had some challenges with my family this month, and I called her and sent her an email. Yeah, it's
is
life.
Is it because I didn't shut up at the Lady Gaga concert?
Exactly. Well, it took you a while, but you finally pulled through, so I appreciate it. And,
great.
And I'm trying to hook up with her and
right,
try to get something done. But thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Be well, right, David. Guys. We'll talk to you again very soon, if not next week. We'll see. Yeah, please. All right, bye. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, Scott is jamming out in the Allstate Showcase studio. I think a lot of people are in a pretty good mood. I don't know what it is. Maybe the promise of spring, even though it started out fairly nice out today.
Nice-ish.
Despite the cloudiness, but then it got very chilly in Chicago.
It was 10 degrees colder going home than it was coming into work today.
Yeah, it dropped down to the high 30s by the time 6 o'clock rolled around, I believe.
Thanks, Obama.
By the way, we were talking a little bit ago. Have you ever been to San Antonio?
I haven't.
Oh, I think that you would like San Antonio. definitely, it's a great town. Really nice, nice folks and great food, great margaritas.
The Riverwalk is nice.
The Riverwalk is nice. Yeah. What, have you been to Texas, Ez?
No, I have not.
Never been to Texas. Okay.
No.
I've never been to Austin, so I feel like we should do a road trip to Austin. By road trip, I mean fly. Because road trip, yes. I mean, here's the thing about driving to Texas.
Oh, dude.
When you hit the border, it's like you drive about, like, what, 16 hours from here to the Texas border, maybe 18. When you get there, you're still only halfway there as to wherever you're going in Texas. It doesn't matter. Everything is like another 20-hour drive. It's long. I drove to Galveston, Texas one time.
I've driven across it on numerous occasions. It's horrible.
It's awful.
It's so flat. You can actually just tie like a string to the wheel, take a nap. Wake up 8 hours later, you're still going straight down the same damn freeway.
Yep. I was like a dork. I was like, oh my God, a tumbleweed.
Oh, wow.
I was very excited.
I thought the armadillos, which have now migrated everywhere. But did you know nature, this is God's sense of humor, has taught armadillos their number one defense mechanism is to jump.
Yes.
When they're charged by something, they jump. And they jump roughly at grill level.
At grill level?
Yes.
So you can grill them?
No, grill of like the car.
Oh, the
front of your car.
I'm sorry, the grill. Grill of your car level. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yes. So they're just at the right place to be hit by a car?
The most horrible trick of evolution ever.
That is bizarre. Yes.
Yeah, I saw an article about how it's snake season in Texas. So I don't know if I really want to go there.
Snake season. You know those cameras that you can see what's on your front, like who's on your front porch when they ring the bell? A woman went to look at her phone to see what was on the front porch and there was a snake on her front porch.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay up here.
I believe that was
fine.
In Florida, actually, but yes. Yeah.
That was Texas.
It was Texas? You saw that?
Because it was snake season. It's snake season. They literally have a season
I feel like
for
you,
snakes.
A snake season. How do you get ready for snake season?
Like you know, run away. You don't go there.
I'm going to steal that from Esmeralda.
Can you wear white after snake season?
I think you can wear white. I think you should wear camouflage during snake season. You should be blend in. Look like a twig.
Just wear scales and hiss a lot.
A lot of that stuff.
Oh my God.
We do have listeners who have friends. There are thousands of Loyola Chicago fans in Omaha, Nebraska. Their coach, Porter Moser, played college basketball in Omaha, so there are carloads of Omahans en route to cheer them on in San Antonio, including their 20 and 24-year-old kids. Go Ramblers. From the 773. So a Rambler is a hobo, and the logo is his companion. Sounds right about right. Anyway, thank you, Patty. So there we go. And I think we're all caught up on tech. So I do want to tell Scott what's going on with our tech screen, because you know that in general, for the last several years, about 2 years, I tried last year to look at the tech screen.
Yeah.
And after the election, there were a lot of very nasty things on the tech screen directed toward me for various reasons. And I was like, well, I just, you know, hopefully my producer can just go through and filter out all the ones that we don't need that are not moving the conversation forward. Every single thing I just read to you was interesting, and we liked hearing from these folks. So you know that one of my rules on the show, self-imposed rule upon myself, is that because talking about this administration can be overwhelming, and a lot of people are tuning out, they don't want to hear it, they're exhausted, they're days long, it's not everywhere else. You know, my thoughts on it, even if you, wherever you stand, you might not want to hear about President Trump anymore. You might be done, whether you love him or hate him, right?
Sure.
But I still feel like there are things that we should talk about, because there's so many things I would talk about every single day. But like, can you believe this? You know, because that's me. And so, but I contain it. And sometimes a whole week will go by, like the news stories change. By the time we get to Friday, I can't even get through it all. We make it fun on Fridays. We mix it up with different topics. You've been here before.
Sure, it's great.
So, you know, we also do something called Tell Me Something Good. And yes. Patrick, who is a friend of the show, and we had a conversation on Monday about it, but Patrick called, told us something very nice, a sweet story about a wonderful exchange he saw between people at a Jewel, someone helping somebody out. It was lovely. And then he started to criticize the fact that we talk about Trump at all. And I tried telling him, well, you know, well, I've done this for 5 years. My very first show was political. I've always talked about politics. And he wouldn't let me talk. And I was getting more and more frustrated. And Patrick, again, friend of the show, was the one who suggested I take my mother to Jacksonville, Florida for her 80th birthday. So Patrick, again, friend of the show, but friends can disagree on something. And it was getting me riled up. And at the same time, someone was texting me nasty stuff about our conversation. And I was on the road that night, had to go to Michigan. And I was still like holding on to it that I realized on Monday that I had to do something about it. So now I have a new policy. We will continue to not talk about this administration until Friday, unless people are texting nasty and mean things about my opinions, in particular, obviously, on Friday when we do talk about Trump. During that time on Monday, so there were two extra segments added onto the week where we could talk about the president, right? Because I want to talk about stuff anyway that comes up in particular, obviously, needed to talk about the 60 Minutes interview, wanted to do it on Monday. And while we were talking about it, several texters managed to rack up another 12 segments that we continue to talk about it on Monday. And the wonderful thing that came out of this was that, one, it was cathartic for me and it felt very good. I'm telling you, by the way, some listeners know this already. They're like, oh my God, just telling you again. But Scott hasn't been here and I've waited the whole show to tell him about this policy. But there were some really wonderful texts that came in. I got emails from people, some fans in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Wow.
Really sweet things that were tweeted at us. And I have to tell you, that's the thing that's hard for me to remember sometimes, is that the negative voices, and you know this, are so much louder. They're so much more persistent.
Why is that?
It's in your brain neurologically. Why do you mean?
Yeah, why?
It's psychology. You know to defend yourself. So when something feels negative, there's this sort of mechanism that kicks in where you're like, okay, this is something that it feels threatening, right? Whether it's, you know, whatever that is. Might go all the way back to the caveman, but when something feels negative, your sense is to protect yourself and to think about it and how to avoid it next time or how to fix it and what do I do with it.
That makes sense.
And my brain needed to resolve it, and my resolution was to come up with a new policy. So there you go. So my new policy is that. So we still have, we had six left over on Monday. We used two last night, which means between now and tomorrow night, I still have four segments, but we're not going to, and I can carry them over to next week.
Great.
So that is that's where we are on that. So
okay, so if we can talk about
you wanted to talk about Stormy Daniels. Before we do that, let me go to Victor. Here's the thing: callers and other topics will always take precedent, even if I want to jump back into those things. I'm so flexible on this. It's not you; it's Victor on hold, who's breathing into his phone.
Okay,
hey Victor, how are you doing?
How are you doing? I was a good friend of Joe Gentile, went to stay with him, raised a lot of money for him, and I used to do the radio show Cop Talk with him on WJJJ for 8 years with Billy Jack and Eddie. And just a little history, Damon Avenue in Chicago is named for Father Damon, who was born 1815 in Holland and died 1890, came over here, and he started St. Ignatius College and Loyola University, and he took over establishing the Holy Family Church on Roosevelt Road in the 1850s. And if you go by the old building, you could still see on the top of the building, St. Ignatius College, 1869. It was rechartered and turned into Loyola University in 1909, and they moved to Rogers Park on the north side about 1912.
And then it became Loyola?
Yes, then it became Loyola University in 1912. So there's a lot of history to it, but I'll give you one you might want to put out to your audience since this is happening in Texas. How many flags have flown over Texas?
Let me try and figure this one out. I'm going to go with Spain, Mexico, the Texas Republic, and the United States. Am I missing one?
And parts
you're
of
missing,
it.
You're okay. Missing France. You're missing Mexico.
No, Texas. I said Mexico.
He did say Mexico.
And the Confederate flag.
The Confederate flag.
Oh, dang
it. Mm-hmm. The Confederate flag.
And the Republic of Texas, and then now there. So it's a very interesting question, and we're all cheering for Loyola, and that's a little history. But if anybody drives down Roosevelt, they can see that old building with the date on top of it, 1869. And Damon Avenue is named for Father Arnold Damon.
There you go. Now you know. Now you know Six Flags over Texas.
Yes.
And Damon Avenue is named for Father Damon. We appreciate that, Victor. Go Ramblers. Have a great
weekend.
Go
Ramblers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One of my favorite Confederate war stories ever starts in Texas, and the Confederacy decided it wanted to go from coast to coast. So a bunch of them, do I have time?
Yes.
Okay, a bunch of Confederates decided we're going to march to the Pacific and we're going to be joined, and they were praised us as liberators. Does this sound familiar? So they're marching through. There's actually a battle in New Mexico. They won. They came close to Tucson and they won. They're marching up and they see this whole huge band of trappers. It turned out to be trappers and miners from California and parts of Arizona marching towards them and say, oh, they're going to join us for the march. They weren't there to welcome them. They just beat the holy hell out of them and beat them all the way back to Texas.
Oh, man. Oopsie.
Yeah, so yeah, every time someone tells you we will be welcomed as liberators.
Yes. Oh, no, never.
Don't believe that.
Never believe that. We are going to take a break here, and I will turn it over to you. You can use up one of my Trump segments for whatever conversation you would like.
Oh, goodness. What?
if you want to talk about the president's. Whatever you want, Scott,
okay.
But it's all to
so
you.
So much. So much to choose from.
So many things. 312-981-7200. This is your conversation, too. It might not be the one you want, but it's the one we're doing. More after this on 720 WGN. Check out the Mincing Rascals podcast, where you can catch me and Eric Zorn, Steve Bertrand, Scott Stantis, and, of course, the herder of us. We're not sheep, but we're like
cats.
We're herding cats. We're like, meow. We talked about a lot of topics today, and that podcast is available on WGNradio.com. And we, of course, talked about the administration, which we're going to talk about right now because it's courtesy of a nasty texter, a nasty Nelly from Monday night. So Todd, I don't know what the texter's name was, but Scott, you have the floor for any Trump topic you would like to cover.
Well, I was just saying during the break, just wanted to get the facts straight. So Googled some news stories, and this happens every day. My
it's
job
very
is
courteous
to cover-
of you to look for facts. I find that that's something that...
Well, they were fake news because they weren't from Fox. Mm-hmm. Fox and Friends or wherever the hell it's called.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah. So,
by the way, for the record, Scott Stantis is a conservative and a Republican. For those who want to call and be nasty to him, you're more than welcome to.
Yes, you are more than welcome
in the sense that they're going to call you a liberal and a libtard and a
rhino,
and snowflake and a buttercup and butthurt and just give you all the things that people say. Go ahead.
That you can actually say on... terrestrial radio.
Yeah, the rest of it, the C word is the one they reserve for me. So that's good.
Well, I get that too.
Do you really?
Oh, sure.
Jeez, people are nasty.
Yes,
anyway,
they're horrible. People are horrible, rotten.
We're going to come up with a new segment called What's Wrong With People?
one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite shows is Scrubs, and Dr. Cox and Dr. Kelso are very cynical people and say, what are people? People are bastards with a bastard filling.
Ooh, so, that's a lot of bastardy.
Yeah. Yes. So, okay. Yeah, the story, I was going to talk about Stormy, but then, of course, the VA, the head of the Veterans Administration, which is now a cabinet-level position, David Shulkin, was fired via tweet.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, via tweet. But to be fair, he was replaced by Donald Trump's physician, Dr. Ronnie Jackson. I'm not making this up, folks. This actually happened. To be fair, Dr. Jackson has been the physician for three presidents, Obama now.
But what makes him qualified to run the country's second biggest bureaucracy?
Because he said that the president was 1 pound under obese.
Oh, okay. That definitely. I think that if you're going to make sure that the men and women who've served this country we uphold our obligation to them, you definitely want that guy.
Yeah. So to people, men and women who put their lives on the line for our freedom, yeah, you want the person who doesn't think, look at the president and go, you're not fat. You're big boned. You're just husky.
Yes.
You have a large frame. No, apparently the whole argument is about privatization of the VA.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Shulkin, who was removed, was trying to fight against, he says.
Yes.
Although he was spending a lot of money on travel, although so do a lot of them, including President Trump.
And redecorating and...
Oh, $31,000 sideboard for the dining room. What was it? For the Carsons,
wasn't
$31,000.
Yeah.
You know what? We talked about this a few weeks ago, I think on a Friday. I think that the part of going into any sort of public office, everyone should just get an Allen wrench and boxes from IKEA.
Yes.
You know, and that'll be part of the bonding experience. You know, maybe some people have some of the bolts that you need down the hallway.
Yeah,
and
you get the Schlurb or the...
Yeah.
or the Munchen, or the Friedengelager, or whatever they're called.
Okay, on second thought, maybe we need to find something that's American-made, right? And something that they can... thrift store shopping. They go thrift store shopping.
That's it.
Right?
A gift
go to rummage sales.
Yes.
Yes. I like that. Even antiquing. We will even go so far as, like, not high-end antiquing, though.
No, like yard sale antiquing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
All right. I like this. I like the plan we're putting into place for the future of, you know, decorating government offices.
I love the, now, who was it? Was it, oh my gosh, I love being old. It's awesome, by the way. I recommend it to just about everybody. Was it Shulkin, or which secretary was it? The cabinet secretary who said he can't travel coach because people make fun of him.
I think it was this one, didn't
it? Yeah, I believe it was. So, yeah, because you can't travel.
Yeah, I think it was him.
Because people
recognize him and give him a hard time.
And make fun of him. And, yeah, so you can't. Apparently, people in business and first class don't do that.
I guess. Yeah, right? Like they're the most...
Is there an etiquette test for those tickets? I was unaware.
I guess. They're not judgmental at all. Yeah, I see how they look at me when I walk by them to coach.
They do that.
I get a nice warm towel to wipe my hands before I even touch anything.
Yeah, and of course the steward is looking at you too going, don't even think about it. Just keep moving.
It's all implied. It is all implied.
So we've got that. We've got the Stormy thing, which I don't understand the evangelicals who are coming out of the woodwork to say, we forgive Donald Trump, when this is the same guy who has said in the past, he cannot imagine, he's never asked God for forgiveness because he's never done anything to ask forgiveness for.
Really?
That's a quote. That's from an interview during the
campaigning?
The campaign, yeah.
Wait, he said that he has no reason to ask God for forgiveness.
Because, yeah.
But aren't we all born with sin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all human beings and do really stupid stuff.
I'm just checking.
All the time. Mm-hmm. It's how we're built. It's what we do.
No, not this president. And he only hires the people with the highest IQ and then fires them.
Yes, via tweet.
We have a bingo card. We're playing Deadpool every Monday night, by the way, for who's safe and who's not safe in this administration. By the way, a voice in my head named Michael Heidemann says it was Secretary Tom Price who said he could not travel coach.
He's Secretary of what, Michael?
Yeah, Michael, could the voice in my head please stop? See, on John Williams' show... And he's looking at it. He's like, you look it up now if you're going to tell everybody that you just don't know these things.
He's got the smart things.
Health and Human Services, the voices in my head say.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Health and Human Services, yeah, because...
Oh, that guy, I totally know what he does.
Now, first of all, can you imagine, you and I are both wonks. You have a degree in political science.
History.
In history? I thought it was political science.
History.
Okay, well, in history.
Thank
you. But if he walked in and sat down in here right now, would you know it was him?
No. I would not have any idea. I'm trying to think of the people that I would recognize from. I would George Sessions only because they do such a great job of portraying him on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General.
Say?
You said George.
Oh yeah, then maybe I don't know
his
any of
his brother George, maybe because George they look so similar.
Does he have a brother? Jeff sure. Sessions. All right, Attorney General Sessions. I would recognize. How's that?
Yeah, Ben Carson.
I would recognize him. Although I don't think he would recognize anybody. He doesn't open his eyes very much, so I wonder. I always worry about.
It's when
that.
He started to talk like and smacks and.
So strange.
Talks like
very
this.
Strange.
Yeah.
See, now we're just mocking them rather than the sort of nature of their character. So, but anyway, I would not be able to recognize.
I know Jeff Sessions. I've known Jeff Sessions for gee whiz, almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on him as a Attorney General of the United States?
He was Attorney General of the great state of Alabama when I worked there, and we did not respect him very much then. We always called him the Keebler Elf. Whenever he or his office would call, my boss would walk in, and someone would say, "Yeah, the Keebler Elf's office called."
Wow.
What he couldn't call himself? What was he busy making the cookies?
Well, and it makes you wonder. Like, there's something about him though that he's tenacious. And continues to rise, has risen in the ranks from his position in Alabama, whatever, however he started out, to the top attorney spot in the country.
You know who we have to thank for Jeff Sessions?
Who?
Ted Kennedy.
Oh, there you go.
Jeff Sessions was nominated for a judgeship, and Ted Kennedy just blasted him because he had some contact with, you know, the Klan.
Jeff Sessions.
Yes.
And maybe not his brother George.
Yes.
We don't know if he exists.
No, he never takes the hood off, so
no,
who can
it's hard
tell?
To tell.
And so he was denied that. Mm-hmm. He then ran for the U.S. Senate and won and became a U.S. Senator, and hence was in a position to be the first U.S. Senator to endorse Donald Trump.
Oh, interesting.
And so Donald Trump wins the election, amazingly, and appoints him as the Attorney General.
So both of their careers kind of fueled by revenge.
Yes.
Because we believe, many believe that, Donald Trump decided to run when President Obama was making fun of him at the press corps dinner.
I think we can blame the NFL, who refused to give him a team. If they'd given him a team, it would just been...
Oh, we don't know that. We don't know if he would have, if that would have been enough for him. I have no idea.
Well, I don't either.
Do you think, so going back to Stormy Daniels, I was wondering about this too. How many NDAs do you think there are out there? And how many of them do you think, how many people do you think will try at some point to get out of them or decide that it's worth it? Whatever. I don't know what, every single one of them seems like it's pretty steep in order to break it. But everybody who was on, so there were a lot of people who were on The Apprentice. Many of them didn't say anything. Hardly any of them supported him for his presidency. You didn't see them out there campaigning saying, I worked with him for, you know, through weeks and weeks of shooting. He's a great guy. But they didn't say anything negative either. I mean, even Kathy Griffin, who obviously, you know, damaged her own career with that nasty photo shoot. But I mean, how many NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, do you think there are out there?
Well, I was stunned to learn. I didn't know this until we were doing the Mincing Rascals today, that she and the Donald had only apparently hooked up once.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's just... I have to imagine there's a lot there.
Yeah, I have to assume. Well, in the
I assumed it was an affair. I assumed that it lasted over a course of weeks or months.
Well, it's interesting that, okay, well, let's take a break here. 312-981-7200 is, oh, it's time for our news. I didn't get a buzz. Usually I get a thing that goes, nee, tells me that it was news. Moving on, although I do want to acknowledge that we had four leftover segments that were racked up by nasty texters from Monday, right? So you and I chipped away at one extra Trump topic.
Yeah, just
to shorten
the stack.
But then we had two more texts that added two more. So we went in with four, we leave with five because we did one. And so we were down to three, but someone added two. So now we're back up to five. Michael, could you please keep tack? Yes, just put that on the board. I now have a credit of five segments that we can do Trump talk anytime. That just rolls over into every week. So
there could be
a whole week where we just talk about every single segment, should people. But I'm not going to do that to listeners, which is why we're moving on to that video I just showed you. Now, Esmeralda, I am still doing the Whole 30. I have not since my falling off the rails last weekend. And the only time I had any sugar was a little bit of ice cream on Sunday, but then the whole bag of Cheetos were what gave me the migraine, as I'm pretty sure. I think our listener was right about that. So
that's what happens.
Wait, so what are you going through?
I'm doing the Whole 30, which is basically taking yourself down to just eating. You know, when you go shopping and you just shop the perimeter, which is like the fresh fruits and vegetables and the butcher. But then you skip this one. You have to skip like the all the dairy and stuff, and definitely any processed foods. It's really taking out a lot of chemicals, a lot of dairy, things that might irritate your body, might be inflammatory, including dairy and most happy things. Definitely sugar, grains, beans. Lots of stuff.
Okay.
And I was doing a great job at it for about 10 days, and then I had to go on the road. And then I figured, well, I just started. It was Friday, and I figured I'd just start on Monday.
Sure.
So then I went crazy and added everything back to my diet. And it was kind of a
Cheetos
mess.
Aren't on that natural list?
Well, so this is not necessarily a Trump topic, but I had a Stormy Daniels viewing, a hate watch party. Not party, but like two of my friends came over, my mom and Steve and the boys, and I made dark and stormy cocktails, and we had Cheetos, and we had deep dish pizza, because she was going to dish on the president.
Ah.
Do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
So, wow. I know. And I had a migraine. But the reason I'm bringing this up again is that I just showed you a video of a recipe that somebody has posted on Facebook. Have you seen this one, Esmeralda, with the marshmallows and puff Cheetos?
Yeah, I'm out. No, thank you.
Yeah, that didn't look... I mean, it looked interesting. Was it good? Did you try
it? No, I have not tried it. I don't think I'll ever be able to try it because I'm pretty sure that Cheetos are a migraine trigger for me. Because I had a...
Could be the marshmallows.
I didn't have marshmallows. I just had I had a migraine and I had Cheetos. So I'm pretty sure it was those two things. Or the ice cream. Or the wine. And maybe the Stormy Daniels. Anyway, so... I see. If we deconstruct my weekend, maybe we'll find the culprit of it. Have you seen this, Michael? This video of someone making puff Cheetos with marshmallows and butter.
Oh,
it's basically Rice Krispie treats, but with puff Cheetos.
You know, the human mind is a very, very interesting thing that people can come up with this kind of stuff. I don't know if it's up my alley, though.
It's not your thing.
No, it just doesn't. I gotta say, it's not one of those things that you go, wow.
Hold on a second. It's a quarter cup of powdered sugar, some cream cheese. If you can Google this, you can Google puffed Cheetos with marshmallows. Yes. Cotton candy flavoring as well. Where do you buy cotton candy flavoring?
I didn't know that was a thing.
And then you mix all of that. I didn't know that was a thing either, but that sounds fabulous.
You think so?
Cotton candy flavor?
Yeah, that sounds fabulous, but I'm just thinking the butter and the marshmallows and the Cheetos. It just doesn't...
I feel like I'm looking at a different video. Oh, well, these are cotton candy dessert cups. You let the next video start playing. What have you done to my phone?
I paused it. I didn't want to just... God,
I was going to say, this is all different.
I'm just screwing everything up. I thought I was being helpful
by
moving...
You almost broke the station.
Yeah, I really... Your entire board started flashing, and then it went out, and then none of the screens were working. It was... I'm sure I blocked out most of, like... The tri-state area. That's, just by moving this.
It was not your fault. I think there was ghosts of Christmas past.
You weren't
in here.
Saying that before. You're going, so not all your fault.
It wasn't all your fault. Here's the thing. You ever have this happen where someone's trying to help you and they
make it worse.
Unintentionally exacerbate a situation. And I felt bad saying that it wasn't all your fault, but I was fine reaching over all the way across the console because I knew it wasn't going to go any further. And then we hit buttons. We hit buttons.
No, we didn't. I did. I'll take full
responsibility. I apologize. I'm sorry that I made it. I was so I was frustrated.
No, you know, I felt like my dad because I have those things with my dad would try to help.
No, don't say that.
Well, he would try to help.
And I understand.
My dad knew he would do helpful things. Like we had some scratches on our dashboard on our car, and he decided that he was going to help. Well, and my wife, God bless her, forgot that he was colorblind. And so we had a brown dashboard, which was fixed with pink paint.
Yep, that happened.
So I felt very much like, okay, well, we're entering those waters now.
My father was also colorblind, but let me go back to that in a second. My mother always thinks that my house can be cleaner, right? So there have been times, first of all, my poor husband, when we've traveled and we'll come home and she's tried to clean the house. But when I was living by myself, I had started doing stand-up comedy. I was working. I was a bartender at the time. And I lived in this studio apartment over in Lincoln Square. And it was one of those doors where it had like a bolt and it also had a key spot for the doorknob, right? And the key fit both of them, but if you turned the wrong one, you were locked out. Like there was no, it didn't actually unlock the door. It would just lock it. So my mom, not knowing that, but she had a spare key in case I ever got locked out. That was the intention of the key. She'd come over with like a mop and a vacuum cleaner. She was going to clean the house. And it was a Sunday. And I remember that for a specific reason, which is that my leasing agents were not available. She locked us out of my house. And I have two cats. If it wasn't for the cats, I would be like, well, I'll just come back tomorrow. But I didn't want to leave my cats alone, so I had to climb out like on the out. I had to like basically go out to an outer window.
How high up is this?
It was the third floor of the apartment building, and break my bathroom window in order to get back into my apartment. So my mom was trying to be helpful, and yes. Yeah. And it was hard to like, yes, you have to work very hard not to be upset because here's the thing. I didn't want her to clean the house in the first place. See, that was the beginning of it. And then I got locked out of my house. And then she's going to hear this. That's not the way I remember it. That's not how I remember it. Thank you, Mommy, for wanting to make sure that I am living in a more clean environment. I know that was her goal. I was very busy at the time. That's why.
There is an adorable colorblind story, though. My father had a lime green leisure suit. I'm not kidding.
Of that sounds wrong. But
oh, it's
yes.
So wrong.
And yet popular at the time.
And he was like, and your mom helped me pick it out. And years later, he was talking about, I liked leisure suit. I had this cream-colored leisure suit.
No, he didn't know it was lime green.
My mother... No. On purpose got him a lime green, which he thought was beige.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So he went to work. Yeah, yeah.
My father was a tuck pointer. So that's the in between the bricks, you have the mortar. So when that starts to wear away, you have where that mortar, that cement starts to fall out.
Right.
So tuck pointers come in and they fill that. And obviously a lot of buildings have specific colors. You might have a light sand color. Some buildings even have like almost white. Well, my friend, let's call her Barbara, her parents, that's her name. My friend Barb's parents hired my dad to tuck point their garage. And they had sort of this red brick and in between was a sort of reddish mortar. And my dad, you know, he would have these colors and to mix into the mortar, and I used to ride my bike over to watch my dad. My dad like did some of the coolest stuff when he was tuck pointing. He would like hang scaffoldings and stuff. And one time I came up, I rode my bike over to see his work, and he was hanging off the side of the chimney like in a lawn chair tied to a rope around the chimney. Yeah, it was insane. And so I ride up and I'm looking at it, and they're all looking at it, and my dad, come on, Pat, tell him it looks fine. Well, it matches, and it was pink.
Oh, good.
The mortar was, it should have been like a reddish brown, and it was pink. And bless them, they didn't change it for years. They didn't change it. After my father passed away, I used to just go right over to look at his work, and eventually they sold the house, and somebody else has fixed the mix match mortar. But my dad was the same way, colorblind. And totally colorblind.
He would admit it. Would he admit it?
No. He would always ask me, hey, Pat, what color are these socks? Are these blue or are these black? Which you could kind of see that, but I didn't realize until that day when we were standing there, and he just legitimately did not see that the mortar didn't match the existing previous mortar. And then when Griffin was, I think Griffin was probably 5 years old, we went to have his eyes checked, and he the ophthalmologist turned to me and she goes, I think that your son is colorblind. And so she did all these tests and she goes, here, I'll show you. And so Griffin was standing next to Declan. Griffin was wearing a purple shirt and Declan was wearing a blue shirt. And she goes, what color is your shirt, Griffin? And he goes, it's blue. And he can't distinguish blues and purples and certain colors like that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? The 847 has racked up another one. Look at that. We weren't even talking about it. And the 847 has racked up. It has to do with my apartment. Please blame Trump for your mom having to clean your studio apartment and you having to go out the window. Now we've added six overtimes Trump segments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the kind of ignorant, silly, stupid stuff we get. It's just so bizarre.
I know. I love the discussion in this country right now. It's just awesome because, you know, there's nothing better than stupid.
I have something that I wanted to talk about, and it's almost going to be too late if I don't do it tonight. Do you partake in Easter candy?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a favorite? I want to see if it's on this list.
I don't know if this is rare or not. I like licorice jelly beans.
That is not appropriate.
I'm sorry.
I think that you're Esmeralda, can you tell him why that's not appropriate to like black licorice jelly beans for Easter?
Because they're disgusting.
Well, that's one thing that might be some reason. Easter candy is supposed to be festive and celebratory. Black is the color of death.
Black's my favorite color.
You can have those on Good Friday. I say you eat all the black jelly beans on Good Friday. That is completely those are Good Friday jelly beans. Those are not Easter Sunday jelly beans.
The New Covenant.
Chocolate bunnies and pastel M&Ms are Easter Sunday candies, not your black licorice jelly beans.
I stand corrected.
I'm just kidding. Wow, you look so chastised.
I don't have to go to church now. I've had all the guilt just lumped on just the black jelly beans.
I absolve you. More after this. 312-981-7200. What's your favorite jelly bean? And if it's about Trump, you're going to add another segment. A listener texts cinnamon red. I'm assuming that's the kind of maybe jelly bean that they like in contrast to your licorice black of death, Scott Santas. Scott Santas, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, joins us. And he likes black licorice jelly beans at Easter time. I don't know. Do you think Easter and you think black licorice jelly beans?
Yeah, because I'm not a big chocolate fan.
Okay. What about the Cadbury eggs?
Oh, I love those. Oh, my God.
That's your Easter. That's an Easter candy. Yes. That's specific to Easter.
Yes.
How about your peanut M&M's Easter-themed pastels?
No.
Okay. I like those.
I don't like mixing peanut butter with chocolate. Isn't that the dumbest thing?
No, I can understand that. You're a purist. You like your peanut butter with your peanut butter. Do you like it with your jelly?
Yes.
Okay, then. And your chocolate, what do you like with chocolate? Just chocolate?
I don't eat chocolate a lot. I really don't.
Well, that would be the problem with not like, it's not that you don't like peanut butter and chocolate. It's like you don't like chocolate.
So I hate Jesus is what you're saying.
Yes, because we all know that he was crucified on a giant piece of chocolate. That was not a 700-pound crucifix.
No, it was just a...
This got weird. I became blasphemous at exactly 1:25 a.m. Excellent.
Yeah, we go up to heaven. There's the judgment. And God's going to point at his watch. You know, 1:25. Do you remember this on the 29th?
Remember when you said that Jesus was on a chocolate cross?
Yeah, that's funny. Girl.
Right, as Scott backs away from me. Do you have a favorite Easter candy?
You know, not really.
No? Do you like?
I'm not very much into the Cadbury eggs. They gross me out.
Yes, I have to agree with that.
Really?
Cream
Why?
In the middle.
Because it's
too much. I'm honestly not that big of a fan of very sweet, over-the-top candy.
Mm-hmm.
So
it
that's just
cool.
ridiculous to
it
me.
It is. It's a lot. I mean, it's just liquid sugar in
that's
there.
That's once a year. Just,
that's
you know.
True. My teeth hurt just thinking about it, though. Chocolate rabbits, obviously. Chocolate eggs, of course. Then they have the Lindt chocolate carrots. I don't think I've had the Lindt. Lindt. The L-I-N-D-T. Lindt. Chocolate carrots.
I don't know what that is.
I haven't had that either. Whoppers, Rob. I love Whoppers. I don't know why. I like sucking on them.
Is that...
I know. I saw that coming. Suck. Just mark it. No, because if you bite down, it's got that crunch. But if you're
that's the malted
there's no
milk
good way
ball,
to,
malted milk ball,
ball mal-
with
I,
chocolate.
I'm just gonna go. You know what? Let's just follow through.
let's just take this word naturally.
It's malted milk balls. I don't know what malt is, but it's delicious, and I like to suck on them until they're sort of squishy, and I. moving right along.
Yeah.
I don't know why I like to suck on them. I just there's no other way
it's
to
Easter,
describe
you
that.
Like sucking on balls. That's
oh,
just the thing,
there
right?
It is. No, don't put that together with Easter. That's not the. It's Whoppers are all okay. They're a year-round thing,
yeah,
Mr.
Yes,
Black
I'm sorry.
Licorice.
Yes,
jelly beans. Okay, so
I just see at the judgment. I'm backing away from you. Says, hey, not so fast. Black jelly beans over here. Over here.
Say,
over here.
Non-Easter themed candy. Packaged in plastic eggs. Oh, so like you just have like candy and eggs, so you just fill it with. We've done that before where we filled them with like little mini Snickers and things like that.
Yeah, when the kids were younger and you had Easter egg hunts, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Starburst jelly beans.
Oh, hold on.
Yes. Oh, we got your attention now, have we?
You do.
Oh,
That sounds fantastic. I worked at a place that every year as a newsroom and they would have the Great Peep Massacre. And they would have dioramas, and they would get peeps, and each scene would be killing a peep in the worst possible way. So you'd have traffic accidents or, like...
So they're using other props in order to
with the peeps.
Carry
you know
through.
The peeps are yellow things that are made out of some substance.
Well, they make them in everything now. They make them in pink and purples and...
Yes, this was...
I bet you they got your black licorice peeps somewhere
well,
for you.
Well, that would be a little piece of heaven right there.
For your Easter pleasure, got your...
for your Easter angst, you can get the black... Licorice peeps.
I love the idea of that though. The Great Peeps Massacre.
Yeah. So
well, people like to put them in microwaves and make them explode.
That was part of it too.
That would make sense. Michael, do you have a favorite Easter candy?
You know, I've been kind of backing away from candy for the last few years, but if I'd have to pick one, it'd be those Cadbury Cream Eggs. I would eat those in high school, even when it wasn't Easter. I would like search them out, and then I remember it was a big deal when they got smaller. At one point, one year. So
there you go.
I say those, yeah.
So when you say you've backed away from candy, then I gave you candy for that when I came back. Please,
except for that candy.
No. Please feel free to re-gift that. I'm not kidding you. I would not be offended at all if you want to.
No, that candy was really good. Actually,
have you tried it?
Yes, and it's very fancy. It came in a nice like a box with a ribbon around it. How could you say no?
Sugarfina.
To that
They're candy from Sugarfina. They're delightful, and I gave him ones that were filled with rum. I think chocolate, and that's real rum. Like you know when you get like a chocolate truffle with
yes,
rum?
Yes, I found that out
the hard way?
The fun way.
Yes, they're and they have like Cuba, they have themes. So like one was Cuba Libre. So
ooh.
It has like, yeah. All these
you know, things. I'm going to change mine. I'm going to change it to Sugarfinas. that's my favorite Easter candy. It was very good. I wish that they would, you know, you haven't really seen a lot of transitions in candy with Easter lately because everyone just always says the cream eggs or the traditional stuff. I want there to be like a great like bunny Butterfinger or something like that. I think that sounds really good.
I like the way this is going.
Yeah, I like this too.
312-981-7200. Have we missed any of your favorite candies? Yes.
Don't you love it? Because I love it when people say, Scott, you know what you should do a cartoon about? You know what would be a great segment for your show? It's you paired one of my favorite segments of all time on the Patty Vasquez show was when you had from Nice Knife and Time, Fork and Time.
Oh, Knife and Time.
Knife and Time.
Right.
Yes, I was right the first time. They paired wines with
Halloween candy,
and it was amazing.
It was one of the best ever.
Do it with Halloween
and
candy.
That was in honor of, memory of, we definitely can do that though, but not in time for this, but for Halloween was what we did it for last time, and it was in honor of Christine Bloomer, who was the wine diva. May she rest in peace. My lovely friend Christine used to do that all the time on Steve Cochran's show. She would pair wine with Halloween candy. And of course, every year, Steve Cochran would say, people would ask, what pairs with popcorn balls? And he goes, well, if you have popcorn balls, make sure you see a doctor. More after this on 720. Oh, wait, let me go to the news. Let me go to the news. Here with your news is Rob Martier. Yeah, fortunately, folks aren't going to have enough time to call in to Dan Shugrue to have those that last segment sent over to Nick D's show for Out of Context.
Not for this week.
Not for this week, but their texters are already asking if I was. There's no other way to describe how I like to eat Whoppers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not the ones for Burger King, although. Okay. I don't want to get into how I can't eat thick hamburgers. If I ever told you this story,
no,
I got lockjaw trying to bite into it.
I'm sorry. What?
I did. I have TMJ, so sometimes my jaw will like click and then get stuck. And it's happened to me 3 times in my life when I've tried to eat more than I should have. I mean, as long as we're already going down this path.
I'm sorry. No,
it's been a while since we have.
TMJ is a thing. Your jaw.
Come here for a second. Just right now on the air. Give me your hand. Just give me your hand. Okay. You can sit right there. Watch this. Here. Like that.
Oh, my God. So you
just felt it unhinged.
You're like a snake. You could swallow a giant mouse.
Yes, but if I open it like that, it sometimes gets stuck. I was making out with a boy one time. Let's call him Jason because that was his name. And I was
oh, poor Jason.
I was on my back. All right, we were making out on the floor, and I was on my back, and he was above me kissing me, and my jaw popped open, and he fell into my face, and he thought. he like popped up and he goes, what was that? And I go, I have a jaw condition. And he goes, I thought you were going to swallow my whole head. He said, remember that show, do you remember that series V? Like they would like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he thought that I was like one of those aliens. Yeah.
So how long after that did the relationship last?
Not that much longer. So strange. So very, very, very odd.
She tried to eat me.
Well, if that had been the case, I think the relationship would have lasted longer.
Well, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So I was. There used to be a hot dog joint called Niagara that I lived near my neighborhood in Norwood Park, and they had really good burgers. They had really good hot dogs, all the best gyros. And so I was only like 13 or 14. This is when I found out about my jaw. So I went to take a huge bite I heard a clicking noise and I was stuck and just with my mouth open. It was like, and that's terrifying because you're like,
and you can't talk. I mean, you're, oh yeah.
So I've done it 3 times. I have to cut apples. I have to be careful with hot dogs. And and yes, that too. So we're clear.
When it's stuck open, how do you close it?
Yeah, you have to just like very carefully just try to massage the muscles around the jaw to try to like just sort of ease it back. And I have to sort of like push it back.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm...
I know. It's the craziest and stupidest thing. And I'm just glad I've never broken my jaw. They suggested a surgery like when I was in my 20s, but guess what surgery entails? Having my jaw wired shut for like, which I'm sure the 847 would friggin' love that.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I would have to, and I was already a stand-up comic when they gave me the suggestion.
Why would you want that? I mean, surgery? I mean, is this a problem?
Yeah. I mean,
generally,
I grind my teeth in my sleep and it's also, I mean, it's my jaw is misaligned. The bones don't fit together. Right. So sorry, Robert. And thank you, Robert. Yes. I mean, sometimes you just got to commit. You commit to the moment and you go, hey, we're going to live in this space right here where it's all going to be part of Nick D's show. Well, here's the thing, too, is that, and Nick D's right about this. Sometimes we're not out of context. Like, that's context. I mean, you can't talk about that stuff without sounding like it's in context. So, I don't belong in out of context, because it's context.
It's context.
It's in context.
Okay. Wow, that is just wow.
My jaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the saddest makeout session of my entire life. That and when Jason, another Jason, pulled back and goes, "What'd you have for lunch?"
Oh God!
It was Sloppy Joe's. I've told that story many times on that because that Jason I had a big crush on for like years, and the first time we kissed, he asked me what I had for lunch in not a pleasant way. So I'm fine. I've totally recovered from the moment. You can tell.
Yeah, the best makeout, the special moment was. For me, was mm-hmm. you're making out. I think it was high school at some point, and you know you're done with the lips, and you're moving down to the neck, and you hear.
What is it? like in like, oh, another one trying to make their way.
Well, yeah, just like, it wasn't even that, it was just, you know, I was taking a little break, you know, but, and no, just a...
How many times did that happen to you that, you know, I don't know if I ever made the sighing noise. Was it like an indication that they didn't want you to go lower?
I don't know. I just said, well, go look at the time. Just left because it was like...
Maybe they had been she'd been holding her breath for a bit, like while you were making out, and it was her chance to take a deeper breath than she had been while you were kissing. You might have internalized this the wrong way.
Okay, well...
Let's fix this. You poor thing.
Yeah, no, it's I'm over it now.
Yeah, clearly, since you brought it up, you and I are obviously well-adjusted human beings.
Yeah, no doubt.
Based on our scarred...
We don't cling to the negative at all.
No.
No.
We live in the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Don't project. None of that.
By the way, our friend Robert says, stop. Your fans, some of your fans are truck drivers, and we can't drivers see with tears in our eyes. So thank you for that. But, and he says he's glad his name is Robert, not Jason. You know, Jason, the one that I was in and out of relationships with for like 7 years, we dated on and off.
Wow.
His mom and his wife follow me on Twitter and Facebook. So I could never, like, I told that story once on Facebook before she started following me, and I can't tell any more stories about dating him. I was on stage one time I mentioned his full name because I do that. I'm not good at fiction. I just tell things the way it is. And one girl yelled out, "That's my landlord." So that was awkward.
No.
And I was talking about losing my virginity. So that was uncomfortable. Let's go back to Easter.
Let's talk about Easter candy and sucking Whoppers.
Jelly beans and Whoppers.
Yes.
By the way, from the 630, I love black jelly beans too.
Thank you.
Easter, the question isn't do you like black jelly beans. I'm not saying I don't like black jelly beans. I'm saying it's a weird thing to associate with Easter candy.
Told you stories of my family.
That's true. It makes all sense now.
It makes all the sense in the world now.
All makes sense. My daughter's ex-husband loved Peeps, but he liked them stale, so he would save them for a year and eat them the next Easter. Yuck. And that's their yuck.
Did they go stale? I thought they had so much chemicals and preservatives,
but they get that like they're almost like crunchier. Like the clearly, I'm speaking from experience. But they have like a
still good.
Yeah, no, you can tell a difference. It's kind of like, you know, when you have tortilla chips that have obviously gotten too much airtime. You know, like you leave the bag open.
Yeah,
it's the same kind of concept. But you know, just something slightly off.
Yeah,
but some people like the stale better.
All right.
Okay, then.
Well, what do you attribute this to?
The stale Peeps.
Yeah, they're liking them.
Oh, I'm stale? I don't know. Some people's taste buds are just awry.
Just going with the passion and the suffering.
Maybe. And Gail says, happy Easter to you all. So thank you so much for that.
Bless you, Gail.
Exactly. You know what I didn't get a chance to get to was a job opening that, did you ever, did I lose that piece of paper? Oh, no. There's a nudist colony that's looking for a lifeguard. And I wanted to make sure people were aware of that.
Chicagoland area?
If I had the piece of paper, I could make sure people were well informed on that. Would you want to be a lifeguard at a nudist colony? That seems like something that I can't. Is that something you'd want to do?
No.
No?
No, because...
I mean, I've been a lifeguard, and it's bad enough when, you know...
Yeah, I would say even you saw them even in the Speedos and the other.
I saw a lot of stuff I should not have seen.
Yeah, and you can't unsee it.
There was a guy who used to swim at. I was a guard at University of Illinois in Champaign, and there was this international student who would swim, and I had to tell him he had to get out of the water because it was not appropriate. He would swim in his tidy whities.
Oh goodness!
Yeah, that was that. Talk about remembering something from when you're 19 years old. Yeah, he was in his tidy whities.
Did you ever have guys fake drowning? Because you were, you know,
no, they never. No, nobody ever faked drowning. No, you know what was funny? People did not like me because I was a very stern lifeguard. People would use another word, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Definitely the 847 would use another word.
Absolutely.
It's in Rhode Island, so it's a nudist colony that's looking for a lifeguard, and the uniform is cheap, so the lifeguard also has to be naked. Yes, that's the they're reporting that Dire Woods. So if anyone's interested, and we have people, I believe we reach Rhode Island. So those of you, or maybe you want a summer in Rhode Island,
and this is a dream.
You can be at a nudist colony and get paid for it, right?
In the smallest state in the union.
Exactly. So I'll bet you maybe they're more. I wonder how fit they are in Rhode Island. Maybe it's a better sampling of the population. We don't know.
Large Portuguese population there.
Interesting.
Yes, not really.
Okay then.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was interesting. They have a help wanted notice for a lifeguard this summer. Qualified candidates must have excellent communication skills and the ability to work as part of a team. They can wear a lifeguard. The lifeguard can wear a swimsuit, but it is not necessary. The campground also offers hiking, volleyball, and a sauna for people who aren't afraid to bear it all.
A sauna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the camp director says there's really no difference between Dyer Woods Camp in Foster and a regular campground anywhere else.
Yes, there is.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's true, that it's very different. I agree.
Yeah, I would say tray different, mm-hmm. even. I'd go that far.
It's a family campground.
Oh, good God.
And people just show up to relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once people try to go au naturel in nature, they fall in love with it. You know,
I got to tell you, there's parts of my body I haven't seen the sun in decades. It would just burst into flames.
What would burst into flames?
The parts that have not seen the sun since I was a wee lad.
Okay, they would just burst in the...
They would, yeah, because...
Well, now I kind of need that to happen, just because I want to see it's true. I don't want to see it happen. I mean, you could take a selfie and let us all... Maybe not. At least you won't need a flash. From the seven...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stale. By the way, our friend Robert, who's driving, our trucker, says stale. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and put the P in there, the peeps, because he said he mistyped it, maybe because he's on the road.
Yeah.
But he wrote something else. But stale peeps are the best. He doesn't say necessarily why.
No, I'm sorry. Peeps are not the best anything, except they really aren't, because they are made out of something not found in nature.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Here from the 224 agrees with me. I have, according to the dentist, an 80% shot TMJ, and when it goes completely, I will only be able to eat soft, mushy, or liquid food. Not looking forward to that day.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have... Is it
degenerative?
I don't know that it's... I suspect that it is, because I only show people...
I made fun of it.
No!
I suck.
Please don't worry about it.
I'm a bad person.
I made you touch it. I'm just gonna leave it there.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Taking a break. More after this on Tell Me Something Good, will you? 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. What's making you smile? What's making you happy tonight? It's pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. More in a moment.